Hello and welcome to the Political Exchange here on TWR UK. Boris Johnson has now been Prime Minister for over a week and he's spent the last few days on a grand tour of the United Kingdom. He's been in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland where he's been talking about the importance of the Union. Over the next few weeks here on the Political Exchange, we're going to be talking about some of the issues the Prime Minister has highlighted during this time as top priorities for his government. On the steps of 10 Downing Street, he mentioned a few issues, including the NHS, education and policing. We'll take a look at all of those issues in the next couple of weeks, but today we're going to be focusing on social care. Here's the Prime Minister speaking minutes after he accepted an invitation from the Queen to form a government.
My job is to protect you or your parents or grandparents from the fear of having to sell your home to pay for the costs of care. And so I am announcing now on the steps of Downing Street that we will fix the crisis in social care once and for all with a clear plan we have prepared to give every older person the dignity and security they deserve.
That was Boris Johnson on the steps of 10 Downing Street announcing that he will be making social care a priority. For many years, social care has been a major issue in England. There's been a £160 million cut in total public spending on older people's social care, despite a rapidly increasing demand because of our ageing population. There are, according to Age UK, 1.2 million people aged over 65 who don't receive the care support they need with essential living activities. On top of that, many people have experienced a postcode lottery that means some people, especially in rural areas, don't get the same support they might get if they lived in a major city or town. It's estimated that some of these issues are affecting up to 1.4 million older people, and the NHS is currently losing £500 a minute because it's not able to discharge older people home from hospital safely. Dr. Elizabeth Webb is a senior research manager at Age UK. I called her to try and find out about some of the challenges linked with social care in England.
Social care in England at the moment is really suffering. We estimate there are about 1.4 million older people who are living with a need for social care which is not being met. So those are people who can't get out of bed on their own, or they can't wash, they can't eat. You know, their needs aren't being met by the current system.
Why do you think this is an issue that's been neglected for so long? I remember hearing about the Dilnot review. I think that was in 2013. And yet still seemingly nothing's been done about it. Why has it been neglected for so long?
I think it's been neglected for a long time because it's a difficult political issue and because it's very difficult to get cross-party support for any proposed solution. Social care is in such a parlous state that it does need a big injection of cash, you know, immediately to sort things out. It also needs a longer-term solution. So it's reasonably complex and it needs cross-governmental support.
You've mentioned there that it needs more funding. If we take that as one of the major issues, is it all about funding or does the problem go deeper than that?
I think it's twofold. I think that there's definitely a shortage of cash, but also the system is, partly because of the lack of cash, quite complex, quite fragmented, and there are parts of the country where there is no care available or the only care available is very poor. So yes, it's a complex situation and money alone won't solve it.
Were you encouraged to see the new Prime Minister Boris Johnson raising social care as an issue in his first speech as Prime Minister?
Very encouraged, absolutely. And we're very keen to see that he follows through on his promises. It's great what he's saying and we will be holding him to, you know, what he's suggested he's going to do.
If I was to give you a seat in the room with him to discuss this issue, what would be the first thing you would call on him to do?
Well, the immediate thing that needs to happen is an immediate injection of cash. So we think that social care needs about £1.5 billion right now just to avoid further crisis. And then after that, it needs a medium-term long-term solution, which involves obviously thinking about how that's going to be funded going forward and how the system changes as well.
That was Dr. Elizabeth Webb from Age UK. They're running a campaign at the moment called Care in Crisis, and they've identified, as you've heard, that there are many people who can't do simple jobs such as getting dressed, going to the toilet and getting to the shops without help. Age UK say, rightly, that people shouldn't have to just survive. They should also be able to live well. They recently asked 127 older people and their families around the country about the social care system, its successes, failures, and how it could be improved. They've kindly given us permission to use the audio from a video in which you can hear some of the responses.
It's not a career you choose. You're expected to understand all the problems that come with disabilities. There's definitely not enough support for carers.
I don't feel supported. I live alone and have very few visitors. I've had dogs ever since 1969. And a couple of years ago, I had to have my last dog put down.
It's hard work. It's exhausting. I don't think there's a day gone by in the last 3 years where I've not sat there and cried my eyes out at some point.
I don't think the care is worth paying for at the moment, no. If I had more time with the carers, they can go for walks with me, I would love that. I'm stuck here all the time. It's not fair.
We had so many aspirations, but unfortunately Michael was taken poorly and he suffered a massive brain hemorrhage and our whole lives changed. Within hours, he was a normal man, and then just he wasn't my husband. His emotional side was taken away.
What concerns me is that since Mum's lived here, nobody from social services has ever checked to see if she's okay. You know, she is well cared for, she's very well cared for here, but they don't know that. And what concerns me is that there are other people who don't have family members caring for them that are just left to deteriorate.
In my opinion, the system was better 20 years ago. Certainly made a lot easier for us as the carers. All the council now seem to do is give you sheets of paper and tell you to go here, there, no more involvement than that.
Sometimes I don't see anyone for several days. I just feel as if I've been left out.
Bring back somebody that you can liaise with, somebody that can understand your life, yeah. Not somebody that just comes and sees you once and never sees you again.
They didn't seem to care. They couldn't get it fast enough. They weren't interested. So why do they call them carers? They didn't care. How do you call that caring?
I think politicians are completely out of touch. As far as caring is concerned, it's 24 hours. I'd like them to spend a day in my life before they say that families could do more, because I certainly couldn't do any more.
Thank you to Age UK for letting us use the audio from that video. As I've mentioned already in this programme, and it's struck me time and time again in the research I've put into making this edition of The Political Exchange, we're not destined to be objects of pity in our old age. That's why Bethany Brown from Human Rights Watch came to visit England to find out how serious the problems were with social care. Now, you may recognise the name Human Rights Watch. They regularly comment on issues such as the detention of protesters in Russia, the death penalty in the United States, and the challenges facing children in countries like Syria. And this, I think, is a sign of how serious the social care crisis is. They sent a researcher to England to find out more. As I've said, that researcher was Bethany Brown, and I called her this week to hear about her experiences.
In 2018, I interviewed older people about their experiences of cuts to their social care in 11 different local authorities. Under England's Care Act of 2014, any person who meets the financial and needs criteria listed there is entitled issue government-supported social support, which is known as social care. That's help for things like bathing and eating and the basics of daily life. And this is really important because these are the gateway to services and supports for independent living that people need to continue being out there in the community, living their lives. But what we found was that local authorities who carry out the social care assessments have been left to mark their own homework, as it were. That's a great British expression that I learned in this research, with no meaningful central government oversight. And even if a person appeals a cut to services, local authorities can and do cut care while an appeal is being considered. And this can leave older people who could be living alone, could be living with dementia, without support that is crucial for being able to make an appeal. I talked to people like Joy, who was diagnosed with dementia in 2013, and when she had an assessment done in 2016 for her continuing social care support, she found that the assessor didn't know about dementia. She was more of an occupational therapist. She was the assessor was very keen to know whether she could dress herself for a walk, but didn't take into account the fact that someone with dementia might not be able to know or realize that they need to do those things on their own. So it's the prompting that's important. So without good assessments, without assessments that follow the proper rules, older people can't have access to the social care that they're entitled to that supports their right to health and their right to live independently in the community.
Bethany, why has Human Rights Watch been looking into these stories? Does this mean that you think social care is a human rights issue?
It absolutely is a human rights issue. Social care is an important building block for being able to remain independently living in the community with support. It supports the right to health. It supports the right to private and family life. Again, eliminating social isolation and loneliness and making sure that people can stay connected to the people that they love around them without having to go into an institution. Social care is a crucial building block for older people's human rights and all of our human rights as we grow older.
In your opinion, are the problems that you witnessed with social care in England, are those problems insurmountable?
No, the problems are not insurmountable. What England needs is some central government oversight to be looking at whether the social care assessments are being done properly in line with the rules that it has set out, to make sure that local governments who are really struggling with making tough decisions around budgets can be truthful about whether people are getting access to the services that they're entitled to. That's the first step to being able to solve the social care crisis. You have to know how big the problem is. And if people are marking their own homework, if local authorities are marking their own homework because of budget constraints or other reasons, then we're not going to have the data that's needed for the national government to be able to make appropriate decisions about how to protect people's right to social care.
One of the things I seem to have noticed about our society over the past few years is that it is very youth-orientated. And I wonder if you think that that's part of the problem. Has ageism become a factor when we're looking at social care?
I'll tell you, I started looking at this issue of social care a little bit in a roundabout way. I started reading articles about bed blockers, about this terrible ageist term for older people who are in hospital unnecessarily, because it turns out that many people are in hospital were in hospital at the time because of a lack of social care available in the community for them. And so it was that sort of ageist rhetoric that got me interested and really wanting to look into what the problems were around social care for older people in England. Certainly, we all have the same value and the same worth, regardless of what our age is. And we all have the right to be treated equally by government. So when we talk about what older people are entitled to, when we talk about what younger people are entitled to, we have to be thinking about our equality. And another way to talk about that is to be talking about our human rights, what the standard is, what governs our relationship between citizens and government.
Bethany Brown there from Human Rights Watch. Recently, the Salvation Army launched a report called Care in Places, in which they found that there is significantly less money to care for older people who live in rural areas across England. Now, adult social care is largely funded by local business rates, council tax and other local charges, but in areas with lower house prices and fewer businesses, councils are struggling to raise as much money as more urban areas. They say this has led to deep levels of funding inequality across the entire country and prevents most local authorities from providing adequate social care for older residents. It's yet another challenge as the government try to deal with this social care crisis. Lieutenant Colonel Dean Pallant from the Salvation Army spoke to me about some of the challenges this is causing.
There has firstly been a reduction of money for virtually everybody across England in terms of spending power. But the hardest hit are councils who do not have large income from business rates or council tax. And those are mainly in rural areas. So if I give you an example, you've got the difference between, this is 2014 figures, between Lambeth with their spending power of £31,000, just over £31,000, and then you've got Dorset at £5,700. So it's such a gap, and that inequality is across the country. So there's a problem with the funding formula. And while it's really good that people closest to the ground make the decisions about things like social care, it's really difficult to provide a quality of care where there is not enough money available.
What would you like to see the government do now to respond to the various aspects of this report?
The government need to grapple with the problem of adult social care. So there's been a green paper promise. So some draft legislation has been promised for more than 2 years. And it hasn't been shared with us yet. So the new Prime Minister really needs to get that out there, have a conversation. I was interested in the report, in the preparation of the report, to see that in the just soon after the Blair government came in 1997, they had a Royal Commission, but the outcomes and the recommendations of that were not implemented. So this has been a problem that we've been kicking the can down the road for many years, and we've got to deal with it now. We cannot put it off any longer because people are being damaged.
Do we need to be realistic when we think through our response? Because, as you've pointed out there, this social care crisis hasn't just arrived on our doorstep overnight. Is it going to take a long time to sort out?
It will take time, but at the same time, you've got real people's lives. And so it's difficult to say to somebody who's struggling to get their relative into care and can't cope with them at home anymore to say, well, I'll tell you what, come back in 2 or 3 years' time, and we would have thought this through. We are seeing in our care homes that we've got across the country families really struggling to be able to finance their relatives into these care. And we are struggling. The Salvation Army is subsidizing all of our programs. Now, that's fine. We're grateful for donors who give us money and we're able to invest in this. But we are not covering all of the problems, and not all of the church institutions and private providers. We just cannot make the books balance on this. And so, yes, there are other priorities. Brexit, we all know about. Issues like defense or all sorts of other people asking for money, we understand that, but rather than fund tax cuts, we really need to look after the most vulnerable people in our society.
Do you think Christians have a responsibility to try and play their part in solving the social care crisis?
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the kingdom coming on earth is absolutely central to the gospel. And let's be fair, Christians have done a huge amount. We've got institutions, we've got care homes, we've got church-based programs and coffee mornings and drop-in centers and people engaged in their neighborhoods and things like citizens programs where people are lobbying for change. So Christians are engaged, but we've got to keep doing it, and we've got to do as much as we can, and we've got to be the glue that holds 21st century society together. I think that's a key mandate for Christians living in these times.
Lieutenant Colonel Dean Pallant from the Salvation Army. I have one more perspective I want to play you in today's programme. We've touched briefly on our faith response, but practically, how can we respond? And what does the Bible have to say about the way we treat older people? Louise Morse works for the Pilgrim's Friend Society, and she's the author of the book, What's Age Got to Do with It? I spoke to her and asked her how serious the problems are that we've been talking about in today's programme.
I think it's far more serious than we realise, because it's not something we see physically every day. But when you consider that since the Green Paper was promised us in July 2017, that social care has been so underfunded that 77,000 people have died waiting for their care to begin, it's tragedies that are happening behind closed doors. When I ran the issue on my social pages, I had such a run of conversations with things like this one person saying to me, my mother broke her hip. She was out of hospital. I was looking after her. My uncle, who's a dentist, had cancer. He could hardly breathe. He was promised social care, but it never turned up. I was struggling to help them both. In the end, he died on his own, alone. And so much like that is happening that we're simply not seeing because it's behind closed doors. So it is really very serious.
I realise that I'm potentially asking you to speculate here, but if you're right there that this is a snapshot of a major picture of what is going on around the country, why do you think newspapers and the news aren't talking about, why is it not a national scandal?
Well, it is a national scandal, but it's not being portrayed as such because I think for a number of reasons. Before I go on to the reasons, if I could just look at the Panorama programme that showed the human cost of the lack of funding of social care, that really brought it home. And there were letters in the press and there were responses on Facebook, etc. Because that showed what was happening. This dad trying to care for his disabled wife and three children and hold down a job. And the social team talking amongst themselves and saying, what if he collapses? How will we cope with the family? That took us behind the closed doors. But I think the reason that it isn't a national scandal publicly is that in a way it's too amorphous. There are too many figures. There aren't enough human interest stories. And the other reason, I think, is partly one I've referred to just now, is that we don't see it. If we don't see it, we're not concerned about it. And if we're not concerned about it, the press are not going to write on it. But for Christians, I think it has a huge impact on us when we know. And often, my colleagues and I are invited into different churches to advise on the issues of older people, old age, how they are, and how churches can reach into their communities to help them. There's a great wanting to do this.
I remember, Louise, I think it was back in 2013, so it was a considerable time ago, Sir Andrew Dilnot put together a report about the state of social care and how it could be funded in the future, and in it, he made a number of major recommendations. He said recently that the issue of funding for adult social care has been ignored for too long. And he said that in 2013. Have we moved forward at all?
I don't think we have moved forward, except the fact that Boris Johnson, the new Prime Minister, has mentioned it, indicates that it has reached a stage forward where it might go forward. His report was never taken up because it was seen as being too expensive. And incidentally, when Sir Andrew watched the Panorama programme, he wept at the state of the care funding as it is now and what was happening. Andrew Dilnot was asked the same question. Why was it not high on the agenda in government. And he said because it wasn't in MPs' mailboxes. In other words, MPs are not responding to constituents in order to raise it in the House because their constituents aren't pushing them. And the reason that their constituents aren't pushing them is because it's happening behind closed doors. It's a bit like dementia. It's only when it affects you and your family that you realise how bad it is. So I recommend it to people that they write to their MPs and say, we are concerned about this in a civilised country like ours, in the world's sixth richest economy. Older people should not be dying for lack of care. And in fact, I wrote to my MP. Several other people told me they'd written to their MP. My MP replied saying he absolutely agreed. He's going to raise it in the House. He did raise it in the House, and he got the usual handoff that it would be attended to in due course. He sent me the Hansard report. So the way to do it is to pressurise your MP, because it's only MP's pressure that will introduce it in the House. Now, here's a big question. If you're going to fund social care properly, even taking into account the fact that it will save the NHS billions of pounds a year by having social care properly funded, it implies that the money has to come from somewhere. One of the reports that has gone in says that if £2 or £3 were put on every person's tax bill, that would cover it. But at the present moment, how willing would the government be, do you suppose, to say, yes, we're going to increase your income tax? It seems to be the opposite to what's being said at the moment.
Louise, as a society, much of our focus is on young people, which perhaps to a certain extent is understandable. But in focusing so much on young people, which we also do as a church, are we unintentionally falling into a trap of ageism?
Oh, definitely. I've written about that in my book, What's Age Got to Do with It? I did a huge amount of research for that book, and I found that the World Health Organization is paying something like 11 professors in 9 universities across Europe to come up with nudge principles that will move people along from the view that the peak of our culture is youth. If you think before the last World War, well, you weren't around, no, and neither was I add, for the last World War, but after the last World War, if you examine the literature there and the media, there wasn't this cult on being young as there is now. In fact, in the scriptures, the peak of culture was wisdom, and wisdom was associated with aging. With the aged is wisdom, said Job. And in so many places, the older were revered for their wisdom and their experience and their storytelling. They were the libraries of history and culture, if you like. But then, after the 60s and the 70s, in came the cult, and it's almost a cult of youthfulness. So our common denominator, although it's unconscious, is youthfulness. We'll say about an older person, oh, they're sprightly, or we'll compare them to a younger person. So our thinking, although we're not aware of it, our feeling is that youth is where it's at. Now, generally, we're not aware of it, but it influences us in our churches. One vicar came up to me at our PFS annual general meeting and said, I would like you and your team to come to my church and teach the value of older people and teach and show us how God designed old age on purpose. And that's the thing that most people don't see, that God designed old age on purpose.
Louise Morse, she's the author of an excellent book called What's Age Got to Do with It? You've been listening to The Political Exchange. Thank you so much to all of our guests in today's programme, Dr. Elizabeth Webb from Age UK, Bethany Brown from Human Rights Watch, Lieutenant Colonel Dean Pallant from the Salvation Army, and Louise Morse from the Pilgrim Friends Society. We invited the Department for Health a chance to explain what they're planning on doing to improve social care over the next few months, but they told us that they can't comment at this time. You've been listening to The Political Exchange, a production of TWR UK. This podcast is a production of Transworld Radio UK. For more information, go to our website at twr.org.uk.